Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals from the comfort of their own homes write an entire screenplay, scene by scene, page by page, 1 week at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, coming at you live from my comfy bedroom.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm tired. I'm tired, guys. I spent all morning redubbing the last freaking Story Break episode because I biffed my audio, and now I've been in Story Break mode all day. I just want a break. You guys do the episode without me? Can you just, like, you know?
I think
you
we
guys
got
will,
it.
You guys we'll will try. Fuck. No, you'll fuck it up. I'll do it.
Oh, the truth comes out.
My name's Matt Arnold, and I'm not an audio professional. Freddie, what you do is hard.
It's not hard.
I also had to redub an episode, too.
I will say it's not hard. It's just very simple, but if you fuck it up, it will ruin your life.
Yes.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Freddie, you're just a monkey. You press a button. It's not hard.
I know. It isn't. It isn't hard at all.
But somehow we still screwed it up.
You know what is hard? No, here's what is hard about it. The fundamentals of, like, how audio works, especially compared to video stuff or, like, movie stuff, not hard at all.
That's true.
What is hard is not ever fucking it up ever once.
Yes.
Yeah.
Consistency is king.
All right.
Speaking of kings, we three kings of Story Break are tried to write a movie about a crew of criminals robbing the celestial vault of heaven. It's called Heaven Heist. The break begins now.
Whoa, all right.
We jumped the whole story off a cliff last time, so I've been...
Yeah, this is a tough episode, man. Yeah. We're facing some real existential stuff here.
We're in the story void. Story void, story void, story...
Yeah, so the crew is all stuck in heaven, and the person who could get them out, Whiskey, got killed by Miss Wonderful, and is also in heaven now. And Tai Shen gave them a chance to, you know, head back to our world, even for just a split second to try to make
peace.
To face their deaths.
Like true human beings.
Yeah, you know, the whole, you know, maybe ask for forgiveness or just, you know, face your death. Instead, in a 3-2 vote.
In a narrow plurality.
Split decision.
Yeah.
It looked like Whiskey, who was kind of the most far left underdog of the group, was going to win the vote. But then all of the other people in the gang dropped out and backed Tequila because they felt like he was the most reliable member of the. And, you know, maybe his politics aren't exactly in line with theirs, but they were like, hey, you know what?
My awkward pause there was trying to come up with Supreme Court justice jokes, and I just got depressed. So I was like, never mind.
No.
I was like, I don't want to talk about the court. So, yeah. So Jin drove them all off the harbor, the dock, and they fell into, we don't even know what.
They fell into the next act. Shit, you know what we should have done? You know what we should have done? We should have been like, and that's an act break. Time for 10 episodes about goofy nonsense.
Shit.
We fucked up. We blew it. Now we're in it.
All those people say you can't write coronavirus movies. All we should do for the next 10 weeks is write.
No!
The coronavirus rom-com. The coronavirus horror movie.
Political thriller.
Oh, you're right. This could have been an act break.
Yeah.
This is pretty late for an act. I mean, it is. But we're like 130 pages in.
The script for freaking Once Upon a Time in America was like 300 pages long or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is easily as good, if not better.
Yeah. So come on. So guys, what do you think's down there in that cloud?
What do you think's in that cloud?
What's in that cloud, guys?
Anybody ever have a near-death experience? No?
Shit. I got in a pretty bad car accident one time.
Did you see what was...
We're all having a slow-motion near-death experience right now.
Did you see Into the Great Beyond? Can you give us some insight?
I thought this, you were like, well, when I had my near-death experience, this is what happened. Because, like, that feels like something that would have happened.
But would you be surprised?
No, I actually wouldn't. It felt like it would have been pretty, like...
I mean, I've probably gone close to dying, but never had, like, a near-death experience
that you know of, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of those things where I want to see the close calls montage, you know, whenever I kick the bucket.
Yeah, I've had a car crash. I got hit by a semi truck when I was on a bike, but like,
sorry, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, but it clipped the back of my wheel, so I just spun.
A semi truck. Hit by a semi?
A McDonald's semi truck, and two people stopped, and one person missed. They didn't get the registration or whatever. I was very young. I was like in 8th grade, and
whoa,
it clipped the back of my tire.
God.
Yeah. So, like, that could have been, but, like, I didn't have, like...
Sorry, how did it clip your tire and not touch you at all?
So, I don't know if it ran the red or a yellow, or whatever. But I was crossing and it like just missed me.
Whoa.
And clipped my back tire and just like
McDonald's, you know. We love to see you die. Damn.
For legal purposes, I do not recollect if it was a McDonald's, but it was totally a McDonald's truck.
Wait, wait, wait. Was it a Big Mac truck?
Fuck Will. Fuck Will. Hey, that's
Bing is back.
Hey, really quick, that's it for the podcast forever. Thanks everybody for listening. We're done. That's like the best. Jesus, Matt, that's the closest call I've ever heard.
That's pretty gnarly.
But like nothing, right? Like I didn't see it coming. I've never had that. Like, oh no. Probably the closest, just like weird dreams, right? You probably had dreams where you died.
That's weird. It's almost the same thing. I had a Big Mac and then I,
I had a Big Mac and then I died.
Died. But like, right. Wait, this, okay, is, so, this isn't a near death experience. They're already dead.
Already dead.
This is a full death experience.
All right. Have any of you guys been to purgatory before?
No, haven't seen purgatory.
So it feels like being on this podcast, am I right?
Yeah. Hey. I've always imagined that regardless of your faith, the purgatory or the holding area is basically the same as a dentist's office, and there's a bunch of like highlights for children issues lying around, but everyone's done all the image searches already. So you're just like, well, I don't want to just read Goofus and Gallant.
So they plummet through the sky and then they scream. And then they wake up in a dentist's office and there's like jazz music playing.
And there's
like
a
in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You remember Beetlejuice where they're waiting for the number?
Yeah, it's a little bit Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it's very, because we did like the afterlife as like a city. Is this going to be like a little bit more, you know, fucked up, like a little bit more abstract?
Well,
a little
okay,
bit
so
more
first and foremost, let's talk about what it's not. Let's talk about what it's not. It feels like it can't be substantive enough to make it feel like we're in this whole new environment all of a sudden. It feels like we're too late in the game to be introducing that kind of shit.
I don't know about that, because I feel like you want it to feel very different from the city. Like, kind of what I figured was they would fall for a while, and then they'd crash the van into, like, the ground, and then they would be in, like, you know, like a misty void? Imagine the big white area from The Matrix, but with, like, a lot of mist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what are they doing there? You know what I mean? Like, what, are they just
They're
hanging around, just,
endlessly.
Like, being like, here we are, whoa, floating.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that for a while. They go around, they go, Marv! Marv!
Marv! Marv!
It should be that. It should just be the effects. From
no, see, here's the best part is that unfortunately we've killed Whiskey, whereas if we didn't kill Whiskey, he could still be on Earth and they could be yelling at him from a bookshelf.
True. But you could do like a fourth dimension thing. You could do, how about we go animated? How about they show up and they're animated now?
They go animated? Is that what you're saying?
Like in that Soul trailer, and they like change their look and they look like Picasso paintings.
Mm, okay. All right, but yes.
I don't know. How about they just show up in hell? How about they just show up in hell?
Nice try, idiots.
Because they are going to get to hell. So we have to make this stop worth the break,
because
we've slowed down narrative momentum. So we have to make it worth it that they don't just go straight to hell from the end
right.
of the action scene.
Forgetting the representation of it itself for a second. What is it like? What is it like? What is this next chunk of this story?
Yeah.
Like, let's think about that for a second.
Well, that's a harder question, Will. I mean, look, ultimately, Jin, in that moment, his decision was, despite everything, we're going to get this money out of here. So I mean, that's what we're left with. Like, that's what he's decided to do, and it's consistent with what he's been doing, which is I'm getting this money no matter what. Emotionally, the thing that's changed is that he saw his brother praying for him, so we should probably deal with how that's affecting him.
Well, everyone saw his brother praying for him.
Well, yes, they're probably annoyed.
The whole crew,
you know, some people who are less empathetic, you know, might be like, what the fuck, the one thing you had to do, you screwed up.
This brings me back to a point I had kind of made a little earlier. Here's what is tricky for me, and I don't want to go back and relitigate the previous scenes because we're here now, but it does kind of feel like that moment when he sees his brother praying for him, right? Like, we play it as if something in Jin has changed. And then you kind of ask, like, how has this changed Jin? What does he feel like? How does he think about things now that his brother has said this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to this big pivotal choice moment, and that moment that we just played kind of is almost like he hasn't changed, right? Because this is what he would have done before. So
it's pretty similar to him calling Miss Wonderful.
Exactly. So it is kind of like It's tough because it feels like if he doesn't make the choice he made, the movie's over, which considering we're at page 170 or whatever is maybe not the worst thing in the world. Kind of because we flirted with it for a second, but then the feeling was like, oh shit, if he like stops and gets out to turn himself in, then like his character story is done at that point, right? Like he's given up.
Okay, let's take a second to not to go back to the whole scene, but the very last moment when they vote. We had talked about, I don't know if this is the answer. I'm just, since you brought up, like, maybe this was the problem. I wonder, like, if we had talked about that he does want to turn himself in and the tequila pushes his foot down and drives him off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not his decision.
Something else you could do is you could make the end of that scene not a choice for them. Like, again, instead of them hurtling into the abyss, if you were going to do that, they got caught, right? Like, then Jin hasn't made a choice about what he's going to do. Do you know what I mean? If they got caught and sent to hell, that would be different. But then again, you're kind of just bunting the choice down the road.
Yeah, you're just bunting because the choice, if they get caught and then they're all going to tell them that you did a bunch of bad things. But like, we know they've done bad things. Nobody likes the courtroom scene where they just litigate what has happened before. Okay, so let me just think through this. Because if you
wait. Unless it becomes, hear me out. Unless Phoenix, it becomes right? Phoenix Wright. And you have
defending your life or something.
It becomes defending your life, and now he is on trial in hell. They get the world's greatest dead lawyer to defend them. The end of the movie is Jin takes the witness stand in his own defense, and then he breaks down and says, "No, I should have loved my brother more."
I don't know. It's okay. Just for a second to go through, because there's a difference between he can still be selfish and like wanting to get back and not wanting to take anybody's rules. Like he wants to like go back and help his brother. I'm trying to think if there's a thing that he could want that's still not the full lesson, like in order to try to get back.
Measure,
because
so
ultimately, well, the ending we were talking about is not him getting back safe and sound, right? Like the ending we're talking about is that he's going to essentially sacrifice his soul to hell in order to do the right thing. And then he's rewarded in this epilogue where you believe that perhaps he's reincarnated into a tree. So him wanting to get back safe and sound to make up for things, to make up for his mom and his brother, you know, still there's a journey to be had there because that's not where he ends up.
Yeah, it feels a little too. OK, so the other thing I was going to say is that you can be like, oh, dang, my brother was nice to me and be moved by that, but still not want to take your lumps and get, you know, your bowels lit on fire for a million years.
Yeah, he still doesn't want to die.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, he's not ready to face his fate yet, right? Like, that's the kind
of
difference.
You know, here's what the difference would be. If it's, okay, because if the difference is his motivation was, I got to get money, I got to be for myself or whatever. Like, why is, I mean, obviously everybody's scared to death. Well, most people are scared to death. But why is he so hanging on so desperately at this moment? And is it the realization when his brother prays for him that it's like, he can't let go of the fact that if he dies here and can't get back with his money, he would have died as nothing, right? He's done nothing. He's done nothing but be a shitty brother and done nothing whatsoever. So he's hanging on, which means he would not be ready, by the way. If he was given that opportunity to go back for a few seconds, he wouldn't, you know, die with dignity, you know, in those last moments. He would be self-wallowing and just, you know, full of self-loathing and hatred. He's not ready to move on yet.
That's interesting. Okay, so, and maybe there's a way to play that a little bit more in the previous moment. Because essentially kind of boils down to, yes, this goal of, like, what does Jin want right now, right?
Yes.
So, yes, he's kind of seen what a kind and wonderful guy his brother was, or brother is, and if that brings on this wellspring of love, then, and maybe we can play that because we play Jin so close to the chest.
Yeah.
Normally. But like, yes, if it was like, oh, my God, he's right. Again, in theory, if I'm walking through, you'd be like in that moment, be like, my God, he's right. I got to get out of here and go live my life. Right.
Yes.
And then, oh, my God, now the denizens of heaven are chasing you all over the place because they want to send you to hell. Right. You're like, I don't want eternal damnation. I want to live. Right. Like, yes, my brother's right. And so then you would flee from that. And I don't really think that's what we play right now in this scene.
Yes.
So it feels like the two moments where you'd want to stick that a little bit more are in the very moment when his brother prays for him.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like rather than just do this, like, he prayed for me and then the alarm rings, although I guess maybe you can do that. I could see doing, like, the cheesy thing to do would be to punch into his Jin, and he has a whole flashback montage of, like, all these wonderful moments with his family, right? Like, where he essentially internalizes the lesson that his brother gave him. And then essentially that desire to live that life is what's fueling that car chase going forward for him.
Yeah. I mean, again, this might be the scene to get some of that out. Because, yes, the difference is, again, I mean, it literally goes down to the very core question we had early on, which is, like, these people have to be so not out of their mind. They just, like, don't give a shit about the idea of damnation or being a good person or being a bad person. They're just doing this for the money, right? Like, it is what it is. And now he cares, right? Like, he doesn't want to be damned. Like, before, it was like, whatever, fucking, I don't want to be poor when I get here either. Like, you know, whatever, you know, I don't care about morality. Like, I'm going to break into this place, get money, and fucking, you know, be one up on Miss Wonderful and be my own person. Like, you know, I'll deal with this next thing, you know, another time. It's somebody who just isn't thinking ahead in the future. Now he's been through all this and seen what his brother's gone through and everything. Like, yes, he doesn't want to be damned for the first time. Like, he doesn't, like, obviously, you never want to go to hell, but it's like,
I think what I would do is he's trapped on the edge of the road, right? He's you know, he's looking at, you know, the guys, he's looking at the gold, he's looking at the crew in the back, and then the final thing he sees is Freddy in the portal. I think we can breathe a little bit more life into that moment in terms of, like, again, wringing that emotion out, whether it's like a quick flashback montage or, like, it's too bad, like, you would want some sort of meaningful trinket that represents his brother's love that he can stare at. But it would be something like that, and then you might even give him a line. The previous line was like, are you ready to die, or are you ready or whatever, he'd say not yet and then stomp the gas. You know what I mean? Like, or something like that.
Okay, so I'm just gonna brain fart a few stupid ideas, but I'm just gonna throw them all out.
Yes,
there.
Go for it. Go.
Okay.
Go.
Well, first things first, I wonder if these are very stupid. These don't relate. But what I wonder if there's a tension to be had about maybe if they want to get back because this may be too trite or cliche, but it's like his brother's in trouble. Like, Miss Wonderful is going to finish the job or realize that it's the brother. So it's like, they got to get back. So it becomes about coming back to save his brother. And, you know, you find a way for him to save his brother, you know, while still going to hell. But then I was thinking, you could do, this makes no sense. But right, they have like 4 seconds or whatever. Like, they're all walking slow motion to them as they're all like passed out on the coma.
Mm-hmm.
You do like essentially Fistful of Dollars. Like, they go in limbo and it's like Inception and they all train to be like gun codifiers for 1,000 years. And they come back and they say, okay, like, we want to go back. And then they get zapped back in and then they like fucking just kill all those wonderful people because they've been training for this moment for 10,000 years.
Whoa.
And they've all become like,
whoa,
and they've all become,
whoa,
like,
whoa, 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 whoa.
And you get this like crazy slow-mo and they've all become like monks essentially.
Yeah, they're Shaolin monks now.
Yeah, because they've done nothing but train. And like, first it was all brutish and they're like, we're just gonna murder them, but like by the end they're gonna come out and it's like this wushu fight and they just like elegantly like roll out of the way of the bullet just in time.
What's great about that is this, because you literally do, one of them trains to be like a fucking world-class like gunshot wound surgeon and like saves Whiskey's life. Like, he like, you're like stitches up the bullet and stuff like that. What I love about that is they all come back to life. They have this crazy wushu Shaolin monk fight. They kick Miss Wonderful's ass, but the end of it is Jin takes a bullet for one of them.
Yes,
and
I was going to say, it's like the Doctor Strange thing and whatever. It's like they've worked through all the variables, like all the ways this fight could go out. They've been doing this for thousands of years. They've done nothing but become enlightened. They've thought about their past and what they've done. They're fully realized. And Jin lies to everybody. They don't realize, like, he could not figure out a way of doing this
without him
dying.
Yeah.
Like, there's versions where, like, you know, Whiskey stays dead or somebody else stays dead or et cetera, et cetera. But, like, he couldn't find one where everybody survived.
I love this.
So then he, he does it. And it's, like, the last one. And then, you know, Tequila comes up to him. He's like, what? I thought he's like, nah, man, this is the best one I could figure out. As he's, like, bleeding to death sort of thing.
And then he goes to face his karma, right?
Yeah. And then he did take the opportunity. He did exactly what Taishin said. They were like, yeah, we'll go back. Throw us back and we'll make our lives better.
Okay.
And he's like, all right, well, good luck, guys. So that's because they've gone into this impenetrable nothingness.
So this is very good. Yes, you would do that in this limbo. Time is at a near total standstill, right?
Yeah.
And then you would do, far off in the distance is like a pillar of light. Right. And then you would do, like, again, there's some old, you know, other fugitive or someone who jumped off the gates or whatever. They're like, they say over in that fugitive, they're like, in that beacon of light, that's where souls return to their bodies. Right. Like, that's where you can jump off and go back to your body. Like, if you walk through the light that, or like, oh, yeah, this is the classic thing. This would be, it's like, you know, that light you see when you die, that's the light. So if you walk back through it the other way, that's, it gets you back to your body.
But you got to, but you got to moonwalk, because they got to look backwards. Like, you're going backwards. So you got moonwalk. So that's the first 10 years is just learning how to moonwalk really good.
So what I was going to say is the guy's like, it'll take you about 100,000 years to get there, right? And they're like, oh, man, what, do you know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, man, like 100,000 years. What's even the point? We're just going to go back and get shot, right? We're just going to go back and die. And like Jin's like, no, that means we have 100,000 years to train. We have 100,000 years to perfect our bodies, to achieve true power and defeat our enemies because we're going to win, goddammit, right?
Well, what would be fun is just start with just them being like, we're just going to kill them. We're going to fucking make it.
Exactly.
And then because they spent so long.
Yeah.
It's like they start. I don't know, you just have this moment where they all realize, like, I don't know, that, like, you just see them slowly as montage where they just become more and more enlightened as they start, you know, Tequila's like, you know, I should have really spent more time with my kid, you know, like, they're all having, like, because they've been doing this for 10,000 years. I try to think of a way to start, because I kind of, I don't quite know what the moment is, but you want that, like, they're all in this abyss, and maybe they're mad at, again, bear with me, if it was that Jin just did it on his own, or maybe not, I'm just like, you want that moment where they're all, like, I'm just imagining, like, everybody's, like, inside the van still, or they're all, like, sitting somewhere else in this white void, and Jin's, like, away from them, like, moping, and he's like, what the fuck did I do? Like, you know, all this stuff. And then, as they're talking, like, he comes back, he's like, all right, guys, you're right, like, we gotta head back, you know? He's like, yeah, I guess it's the time. But then he's like, oh, no, he gets them all pumped up, he's like, no, you don't understand. We got 4 seconds. Like, we could do a lot in 4 seconds. And then I'm imagining, like, they're, like, drawing in chalk on the ground, and they're, like, using clouds to be, like, this represents the cot, and they, like, build out the arena or whatever, and they're just, like, and they're just, like, you know, exactly replicating what's happening. He's like, are you sure, Whiskey? You're saying that there's a guy right there? Okay, how many guns did he have? This is important. Like, remember. And they're just, like, sitting
and
there.
And Whiskey's like, I need time to meditate on this. And then you hard cut to 10,000 years later.
Yes.
I was about to say,
you need to have a moment where it says 10,000 years later, and they're, like, doing this cool. He's like, I think we got him. Whiskey's like, oh shit, you know what? No, that guy had a machine gun. And they all go, oh! And like, that changes everything. This goes back to like round one, round two, or whatever.
And like, yeah, it's somewhere in there for sure. Because then, yes, the final act of this being, they emerge from this purgatory as enlightened beings on Earth, and then they're able to use their super skills to defeat Miss Wonderful. Then Jin takes a bullet and dies is like nice and tragic, right? And it's like he does it for real, and then he goes off to go to hell. Essentially, the end of it is that yes, he's reborn as a tree.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, it's weird that we don't go to hell, like, because the problem with this version, you don't go to hell. But actually, maybe that is the thing, is that he dies and he closes his eyes and he dies, and we do have a moment where like they open up the gates to him and they're like, you know, you're right where you belong or something, and he's like, yep. Like, he kind of just accepts it and he walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, again, especially with like the Asian version of hell, it's not like hell in this the same sort of Catholic sense.
Yeah, it's more of a work points, figure out your stuff, suffer for a while, but you get now.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I like that. It's like, right,
he's doing
his
time in prison. Yeah.
Yes, it's the better version of, in my opinion, sorry, it's the better version of Baby Driver, where it's like, he's gonna go to prison. Like, no, he's going to prison, and when he comes back, he's not like still has the hot girl in the hot car and can do whatever the fuck he wants.
He's a tree.
He's gonna come back and say, he's a tree because he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Like, he's working on it. Like, he's going to become a better soul eventually, but like, he's got a long way to go.
Yes, exactly. Which I guess means you shouldn't play up too much how enlightened he is. Like, they shouldn't come back and they're like the Buddha. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to
no,
be.
No, yeah, yeah, they're
the,
not.
Whiskey but is.
You,
whiskey I, is. I, like, whiskey has
that's
transcended.
That's very funny.
But like, no one else, everyone else is like, no. Because remember, right? Like, Buddha like sat under that persimmon tree or whatever it is, excuse me for I don't quite remember my theology, but he sat under that tree for a long time and he wasn't trying to plot like equilibrium as gun sequence. You know, he was meditating on the nature of reality. He wasn't trying to think about like the gun kata and its various shapes to like dodge incoming bullets.
Okay,
you need a moment when they're like training and all of a sudden like a person just like falls into their area and they're like, oh. And they look at them, like, hey, do you mind like stepping in for a moment? Because like there's a random person who also leapt in there. I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, like another person who like fell down or whatever.
And it's like 5,000 years later, like, hey, thanks a lot for the help. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm gonna go face my judgment. Like, hey, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for stopping by. And they walk off or whatever.
Okay, so that's very funny. I like that.
I mean, what's nice about that is like I pretty much know where our end game is. It's pretty fast now. It's like a scene, an action scene, and his death. And then, you know, then you're
hell
into big time second draft mode as we piece together this insanity that we.
OK, so let's because I'm feeling very good about this. I'm feeling very good about this flow. This is really good. Let's focus in like what do we want to get done this week? What feels like the first sequence of this? Like it feels like they arrive in this void, right? Whatever we have it look like. they're going to have to meet. Oh, by the way, something else you could do is, like, especially if they're down there for a million billion years, right? You're right that other people fall down all the time. So that could be people that they then learn skills from.
Oh.
Like, it's like, we just have to wait till a heart surgeon falls down here and then he can teach us how to do heart surgery.
That's so good. He's like, that's going to take so long.
You got,
like,
anything else to do?
I'll do anything to save you guys, right? Like, that's the sort of thing. It's like, even if it takes a million years, this team's going to get out of this together. And they all fucking fist pound, you know?
Yeah.
That's so good.
He goes like, you know how Malcolm Gladwell said it takes 10,000 hours?
What about, we've got 10,000 years.
Years.
They spend the first 10,000.
It's hard cut 10,000 years later, and they're just, like, tripping over each other still. Like, man, yeah, this is so hard.
Yeah, it's not enough. It's still not enough.
It takes the first 10,000 years to realize that Malcolm Gladwell was wrong.
Feels like just, like, my body size is never going to be like Jet Li. Like, no matter how hard I try, I've been doing this for a long time. It's just not in the cards for me.
Okay, so it feels like, in terms of the flow, they land in purgatory, right? There's a kind of despair. There's like a, fuck, what are we going to do? Like, why the hell did we come down here, you know?
Yeah.
The two people who wanted to not be here, you know, Brandy, who wanted to go rip and tear demons in hell, is super pissed that she's in the most boring place on earth. Tequila's like, this is fucking pointless. What are we doing here? Cognac is like, oh my God, I got to spend all of eternity with whiskey. And whiskey's like, oh my God, I got to spend all of eternity in heartache, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, no, where are we? And then, yes, you would do that. Something needs to point to them that there is a way out, right? Like, if they walk for a gajillion years that way, they can go back to their bodies and die, right?
By the way, whiskey and cognac, it should be, over the course of this, they are married, they are divorced, they're remarried. And, like, it is like they are every single combination. There's a third person now, like, in with them as well. There's like, they've done so literally.
You just never address it. It's just like, you during the montage, you just cut to, like, Whiskey doing a good flip, and then she's like, oh, good flip, sweetie, and she, like, kisses him, and then, like, you're like, wait, what? And then, like, the next moment of the montage, they're doing it, it's like, I swear to God, if you fucking, my ex-husband says one more thing one more time, I'm gonna fucking punch him in the face. Like, hey, calm down, you two. It's just like, this is like, yes,
you gotta do, they like have a wedding for Whiskey and Cognac.
yes, and then tequila's, and a hard cut to a divorce.
Yeah,
and a hard cut to a divorce, and they're writing up divorce papers.
Oh my God!
Anyway,
we should just do the whole marriage story scene.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I kind of get actually pretty much everything else. It's the real question: is this moment right here when they land into Jin being like, "We can do this. Let's not give
I think,
up."
So that's what I was going to say. Is I think that's the scene this week. I think because we've been writing about 12 to 15 pages a week, so I feel okay doing a shorter scene this week.
Yes,
but yes, I feel like what it is this. So basically we're going to go from fuck, what do we do? Where are we? What the hell's going on? To they are going to realize that there's a way out, but then there's this kind of like, well, what's even the point? We're just going to go back and get shot. You mean like I could have done that up there? Like we could have done that up there, and it wouldn't have taken 100 bajillion. Years, I hate you, Jin. And then Jin is going to be the one who has this idea.
And not only that, they're like, and I don't think we got any bonus points, you know, karma wise for evading the cops and then leaping down here. It's like we could have just gone back up there if we're just going to go back anyways. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Yes, exactly.
I feel like Tequila's point of view, because Tequila and Brandy said to just take it,
yes.
Right? Just to go to hell. I feel like their point of view, Tequila's probably like, hey, man, we're just, you know, we're bad people. You get caught. Like, we got to serve our time, you know? He served his time before. It's like, especially if
exactly.
You're, like my soul's going to suffer because I was a bad person. That is what it is. And yes, like, Brandy's like, whatever, man, I go full measure. If the end of this was burning in fucking hell, that's what I signed up for, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah. So everyone's frustrated because this is like, what are we, this is dumb. Like, what are we doing here, right? Like, in a way, it all seems pointless, right? All they've done is buy themselves an eternity of waiting for this inevitable, awful thing to happen.
I feel like if it's this, like, misty white zone, you know, which is pretty cliche, but let's just go with it for right now. There's, like, this subtle glowing yellow beam of light, like, way off in the distance. And that's what people talk about. They're like, yeah, you know, you go there and you go, you're the next step, like... So you kind of have this clear choice, like there's like, you know, if they walk over there, you know, there's a place for them to essentially leave limbo if they so choose.
You want to do that? It's super duper far away.
I could go either way with it. It feels like they are choosing to stay here because it feels like they're sitting down and training, not like moving and training and moving and training. You know what I mean?
The only thing I would say about that is if the beam of light is like right there, then it doesn't like it just feels like it's kind of I don't know. Like,
well, bear with me. The idea of the choice is let's say they just for the sake of it, let's say they are sitting, I'm not saying they're literally at the edge, but the moment would be is like, well, I don't know why we fucking did this. I guess we're just going back anyways, and we're just going to fucking show up. So good job, Jin. Like, this was meaningless. Again, they're about ready to give up, and he's like, no, like, it's not meaningless. Like, there's a way we can get out of it when we step in. We can figure this out. Like, you know, right? It's like, Whiskey, you remember how many guys were coming or whatever it is? And then they choose to
I see.
Stay
so you
train.
Do, it's like in the distance, but not like a bajillion years. It's like, you know, like, you know, 50 miles up the road or something like that. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then, so then you can do, because then you get that classic. Like, there's nothing like in a movie when the characters are at their low point, and then like some of the characters walk away, and they're walking away, and then the guy's like, wait, and then they turn around. Wait. It's like one of those.
Exactly. It's one of those. Jin's like, I'm sorry.
You might wipe my memory, but I love you, my friends. And you're like, what do you mean? We have a backup of your memory. And your other robot friend. Well, but that backup might not work. And it's like, really, we're hanging our hat on maybe the USB drive was misformatted a few months ago. That's what we're supposed to be worried about. And they're like, yeah. Everyone knows what that's when you have a USB drive.
Hey, and they plugged him in. Hey, did it work? Oh, yeah. No need to worry. My memory's fine. Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Well, all right. There's a lot of scenes for that.
There's a lot of scenes and time spent around thinking about that.
We went to two planets for that. Like,
guys, I think the cat might be out of the bag on how we felt about Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, man.
All right.
Man.
Can I just say really quick? Can I just say I had the most confusing experience watching Rise of Skywalker? I saw it in Australia with Jembo, actually. And, you know, I had a big old Coca-Cola sitting there in the theater. And I was like,
big old blooming onion.
Big old blooming onion. And I had to go pee real bad. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go run out and go pee and then come back. And the scene that I left was like, Chewie was like on the ship.
He died. you left during that part?
Yeah. So he died. And I was like, oh shit, crazy. I can't believe they went there. And I came back and then Chewie was there. And I was like, what the fuck happened? It was so confusing. Because I was like, wait, I could have sworn I left and Chewie died. I left on that beat. Like, Chewie's dead. I can't believe they went there. And I came back. He's like, urgh. I'm like, he died. What do you mean?
To be fair,
in the time I took a pee, he's back.
To be fair, that's pretty much the experience watching it in person in that moment too.
Anyway,
all right, that's wild. Okay, so yes,
nothing but the freshest takes on Story Break.
It does feel like that moment where everybody comes together, or they're all like making a decision.
Yes, this is the fellowship is broken, right?
Yes, and Jin is moping, and he's gonna have to finally express himself and essentially be like, you know, my brother didn't. I'm trying to think of like what is his reason for getting out of here.
Okay, so because his brother's right?
Yeah.
So he's like,
oh, if there's an element of, okay, if you get this kind of element of like self-loathing, or they're just a bunch of criminals, like, you know, Tequila's like, or just a bunch of bad people, like we're saving as it is, like fucking we cut our losses or whatever. His point is like, if my brother prayed for me, it means I'm worth saving. You know, that's like the thing. We're all worth saving. It's like,
ooh,
we made mistakes.
I love that. I love
it's that.
It's
that sort of feel. Like, then this idea is like, yes, empathy itself. It's like, no, like, if somebody that great cares for you, there's something good about you. So, like, hang on to that. And Jin's always pushed that away. And here it's like, if my brother was, you know, after all that, he wants me to save me, I'm not letting that go to waste. Like, I'm going to be a better person. Like, right? Like, all of us are worth saving. Like, everybody's worth saving. We can do this. Like, you know, not everybody gets the second chance. We got one. Like, what's second chance, man?
We only got 4 seconds. Yeah, but we've got 10,000 years to figure out what to do. We've got an eternity to figure out what to do in those 4 seconds.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There, and then, yes, then it's like you cut to this, like, sketching out the battlefield or whatever it is.
Okay, that's really good. Okay. Let me write that down.
That feels like that whole thing takes place on the way over to the gate. Right, and that's the moment, right? They're about to go in and just be like,
no,
well,
I
fuck
think
y'all.
It's what I was gonna say, Freddie, is like the way you stage it is it's like some of them are still reeling or whatever. You would do like a Jin hasn't made up his mind yet, they're all walking off towards the gate, right? And it's in the distance, but they're all abandoning him. And then I think it's he convinces them to stay, he like to come back. I don't know that you need to play it right at the gate, it just seems a little too repetitive with the threshold beat we literally just had.
I got
jumping
you,
off
I got
of the
you.
Thing.
No,
yeah,
I got you.
You know what it should be? It should just be like a prairie. Or like grass.
Oh,
like
I
just
like
endless.
That. Grass is good.
Because that way they can pull out
it's the Windows XP
desktop.
Yes,
it's the window. It is literally the Windows XP background.
Because that way they can just pull out the grass and, like, you know, make stuff, like, in terms of, like, making the blueprint of the hospital that they're going to land in and all this stuff. They just grab rocks and things like that. But, yeah, so there's, like, an endless prairie. And, like, way off in the distance, you can see one break in the horizon is this little mountain with, like, a little yellow beam coming out of it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's the next step.
Okay, just to sketch this out. Okay, so it's like we start and they are plummeting through the sky and they see grass below them and the van just crashes into the ground and obliterates itself, right? And they pull themselves out and they're in this fucking groggy daze and they're like, where the hell are we? We need to figure out who our character is. You can be like, you're in purgatory.
Why is there pain? Like they all, the van explodes and clearly they would be dead, but they're perfectly fine because it's limbo. But they're all like, ow, why is there still pain if we can't get hurt?
So is it like an old farmer? Like who's down there?
Maybe there's nobody at first. I'm wondering how it goes, because it could be just like, where are we? I guess when somebody says, where are we, you want the, wow, you're, like, yeah. You turn around, there's just a guy.
Yeah, like, who's the weird, like, it's someone who's just decided that he wants to stay here for eternity.
Yeah.
He or
yeah.
She, I should
pretty
say.
Good. It's pretty good, actually, down yeah. here. I like it.
It's Genghis Khan.
It's Genghis Khan. No, it should be like, is it like a being? Like, it could be very simple in terms of, like, there could be
I
a
like
person
it being someone
responsi-
like them, because that kind of establishes the rules, right? If it's someone mm-hmm. who's ancient that we all recognize as, like, a famous ancient person, then, okay. like, I understand that he's been there for a long fucking time.
It's George Washington. He's like, I've done a lot of good things, but I also own slaves, so, like, I'm pretty worried. I'm pretty much the ultimate of the good coin, bad coin, sort of two sides of the same coin. So I'm like, I'm pretty good here. You know, it's a lot like Virginia. It's fine.
Holy shit.
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And they all look at him and it's like, hey, bro, if you thought you had a chance to get up on top, you would go. Let's be honest. You know where you're going. And he's like, yeah, I know where I'm going.
All right.
I know
well,
where I would go. No. Okay. Who is it? It's Genghis Khan. I don't know about Genghis Khan.
Who's the... You want someone right in the middle of the zone, right? Some of you are like, oh, that person kind of sucks, but not like...
It's Tom Hanks. He died, and he's like, wait, but you know where he's like... They said I could go straight to enlightenment, but, you know, I'm just such a nice guy. I thought I would help out people in limbo.
That's pretty good.
Like, what?
Mr. Rogers.
Tom
Mr.
Cruise,
you're
so nice.
Like, Mr.
You're
Rogers.
So nice, Mr. Rogers. Yeah, they said I could go whenever I want, but, you know, I just thought, you know, help out people who are having
down,
a tough time.
Help people down here for all eternity.
Yeah.
Very good. I don't know if it's while, Mr. Rogers. Is who?
No, it's not. It's not. It can't be just like a floating orb that says, like, here are the rules.
No, that's but because, again, it should be someone. It doesn't have to be someone famous. It can be mm-hmm. like a, especially because their clothes can tell us a lot about what time period they're from.
Okay, how do they normally get here?
You jump off. This is where you go if you jump off the edge.
Or if you accidentally fall off.
Is everyone got here doing the same thing that they're doing?
Okay, why do they do it? Why do normal people do it?
Because they think they're going to go to hell, so they jump off the edge.
Okay.
If you had the guts to take the chance, you were so scared of fucking facing judgment that you came here instead, right? That's purgatory.
Okay, so yeah, it does feel like it would be a bad person.
Or an okay person, right? Like a neutral person.
Or just like a Gil from The Simpsons.
It is fun if it's someone famous. Genghis Khan could teach them a lot about warfare, which would help them in their 4 seconds.
That's true.
We'll train with Genghis here. No, I don't know if it should be Genghis Khan. Who would you expect to see in purgatory?
In purgatory.
I'm going to just go Google this. Top 10 people in purgatory.
It's whoever we can afford is what it'll be. it's like one of the Beach Boys.
The second we make it a real person, it feels so fucked up to do this.
That's what I mean. It can't be somebody controversial where you're clearly making a statement about them. Like, you can't say Tupac. But it's like a Beach Boy. You're like, what are they saying? Like, they're not saying anything. Nobody knows. Nobody has any opinions on the Beach Boys.
It should just be some 15th century lawyer
Frey, 15th century lawyer.
Oh, it's Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
He's like, I didn't write any of that shit.
I still feel pretty guilty about the 20 people I stole all my writing from.
No.
All right, Shakespeare's perfect. Shakespeare's perfect.
All right, Shakespeare. We're not going to do this. And the first
thing he's a writer too, because fuck our shitty profession.
And the first thing he says, like, "Hey, y'all bring any weed down here?" Dude, Shakespeare's not ready. It's been a while. Shakespeare's just not ready to go on yet.
Yeah.
He's like, "What if I come?"
Well, no, he wants to keep writing. He's like, I can't stop writing. My people need to see my plays. I'm like, yeah, we're all right.
Hey,
like,
I need you guys to play something. Hey, can you act?
Oh, that's actually so good. It's like he's lonely and weird. And then after he tells them everything, he's like, you guys want to be part of my play? They're like, no, we're kind of busy. And then during the montage as they're training, he should come. He's like, hey, you guys set up a play without me? As they have like all this stuff. I was like, Shakespeare, get out of here. We don't care about your new play.
That's he writes a play about them called like the Merry Men and Gentlewomen of Hong Kong or something like that.
Actually, they he doesn't even yell at them. It's like
the Orientals. Ooh,
ooh.
Oh, Jid, I like Jid looking up and seeing Shakespeare in the distance, looking at them, and Shakespeare looks at him. He's like, no, dude, it's not a play. Oh man, guys, Shakespeare's bumped out. He thinks we did a play without him.
Shakespeare's like, but I finished Timon of Athens. That's this the play that people think that he
was working on when he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, that he abandoned because it was
bad.
Stupid. No, I don't know.
Because it's problematic. He was like, oh, man.
All right. So it's Shakespeare. Okay. So okay, that's very good. So they crash the van. They're like, oh, where the hell are we? Why is there still pain? And then Shakespeare is like, maybe he speaks in iambic pentameter or something like that. And he's like, forsooth, by my troth, thou art in purgatory. And they're like, why? He's like, I'm just fucking with you. I don't talk like that anymore.
Tequila should be certain that Shakespeare wrote Moulin Rouge. And they're like, that's not, what are you talking? Like,
he's like, I loved Moulin Rouge.
No, not Moulin Rouge.
He wrote Moulin Rouge.
But he's confusing it with the modern Leonardo DiCaprio, Romeo and Juliet. Like, he's mixing it up with that. He's like, yeah, the one with Leo. Like, no, that was Romeo and Juliet. He's like, nah, man, I'm pretty sure. No, like, with all the colors and stuff. Like, yeah, they're both really colorful movies, but like, and they're both like weird adaptations. But no, Moulin Rouge is not Shakespeare.
So they show up. Shakespeare says, you're in hell. You're in purgatory.
You're in purgatory.
With me, William Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
We move on past that bombshell to...
He explains the rules.
He says,
you guys are here forever. Essentially, time doesn't move here. Like,
yeah.
You're frozen in time. Like, everybody's here, can wander for eternity. I've been here since I've... You know, it feels like I've been here for 6,000 years. Like, well, I mean, that's about when you died. But he's like, no, I've been here for like a billion years. You know, still working on my new play. And then at the end of it, you get the joke where he's like, which, you know, you guys want to like maybe act it out? It's actually perfect. It's like four parts. You guys good? They're like, no,
on it for like a zillion years. And then it's just like, it's the same plot as some movie that came out 2 years
ago.
Inception.
Yes.
I call it
like, how are we going to tell him that his play is just Inception?
It's monsters that can hear you, and everybody has to be very quiet. It'll be a play with nobody speaks.
Mere pantomime. You see, I've been so used to my lyrical words creating these beautiful dramas. I thought, what could be different for old Willie S? And I thought, what of a play with no words? But then why would that make sense? So get this, aliens come, but if you make a sound, they find you and kill you. And it's about a family surviving in this, well, I call it a post-end of times play.
It's called The Silent Place. And they say, oh man, dude, that's such a good movie, Quiet Place. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah, the guy from The Office, he did it. This is directorial. It was good, right? Or he's like,
The Office.
Really good.
I have something like that. It's about a small company of papered goods
that makes parchments.
Okay.
All right, we're having
so
fun.
So yes, this is the obnoxious moment. It's like, oh, we're writers.
Okay,
but yes, okay. They tell him to run away, and then they all look at Jin, or they look at everybody. They're like, thanks a lot. I guess we're here forever, or we just wander to that mountain and just go back to where we started. So, what was the point of this, guys? And you know, Tequila and Brandy should just actually give up.
Yeah, like, Tequila and like, Brandy right. are about to go, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, you're right. This was, I don't know what we were thinking. Like, clearly, let's face our destiny. This is what it is.
Yeah, and then you
there's
could do,
you can do the 4 seconds.
Cognac is like, I'm just going to go wander that way and see if there's something else we can do. Do you know what I mean? Like, because everyone's going to split up, right?
Oh, that's true. So, yeah. I like Tequila gives in. He's like, you're right. I'm going to go with you guys. Like, we should face our time. And then, yes, I like Cognac being like, ah, fuck that, man. I'm still not giving up. I'm going to go wander that way or whatever. She's actually going to point to the way Shakespeare was walking, and then he turns around like all like hopefully, and she's like, actually I'm going to walk that way and walk the opposite way of Shakespeare. And she starts walking in the opposite direction,
and then
Jin is sitting there heartbroken, and then he gives the speech of like, no, we are worth saving.
The band is about to break up. gin. Stop.
You're right, tequila.
Yeah.
We are, yeah, we are bad people or whatnot. But you know what? Like, if my brother loves me, that means I'm. There's a reason he does. I'm not all bad.
Yeah,
I just gotta fucking fix myself.
He's like, yeah, what?
So
yes,
you.
It's basically gin inspiring monologue, right?
Yes.
He talks about what a bum he's always been, but you know, he's always had a brother who loved him, and that must mean there's something about him, you know, worth loving.
Yes.
And he's like, I want to live. I want to make a. I want to use the rest of my life yeah. for good. You know. And it's like, we got nothing but time on our hands. So you know, like,
and like, that's great, Jin. That's about 4 months too late on that speech, by the way. So like, you know, I'm really happy for you. So you know, but we got 4 seconds. There's nothing you can do with 4 seconds.
We've got an eternity.
Yeah. Eternity to figure out what to do in those 4 seconds. And they'll look at you like, what do you mean?
And then Shakespeare butts in with a dumb monologue.
Yeah, Will, can you just drop a full sonnet?
Time that ever bewitching maiden who spins forsooth so slowly as ever tulips were.
I know we're not at the montage. The two things I want, though, are definitely Shakespeare coming back and being disappointed that they're doing a play without him. And then I also want another one where just like kids are picking up their rocks and they're all screaming like, hey, bring those rocks back. It's just like, who are these kids that just showed up in limbo or just stealing their rocks they're using for
there's like rowdy, like purgatory gangs that roam kids. The Windows XP yes. background.
Anyways.
All right. So yeah, like, we've got an attorney to figure out what to do in those 4 seconds. Jin rallies the team together. It's your big hands in the middle. Let's do this.
Yes.
All right. I love that, actually. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And then that sets us up, and then we can do the big, our final, you know, montage number 12 of them training super hard. And they come back, and Jin dies, and he gets reborn as a tree with his brother. And then it's like a really bittersweet ending to the movie.
And we've re-motivated a dope-ass, even though this was all in heaven, we motivated a dope-ass heroic bloodshed gunfight into this movie.
We got it in there. And you know what it is? That's such a good plot device you've come up with, because this allows you to turn any character in any profession and get a gunfight out of it, right? Like, this
that's
could
true.
Be a romantic that's comedy, true. And it's like, oh no, now the bad guys are here. It's a hopeless situation. It's like, but what if they had 10,000 years to train as a fighter?
Eternity to train.
So you know who it's did like this Matrix. Really well was in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they have to play the big concert at the end, and they're like, shit, we still suck ass at guitar. And then they just go into the phone booth, and then it disappears, and they come back out with huge ZZ Top beards, and they've been training for years for this concert. It's so fucking good.
That's funny.
All right, yeah, that's awesome, guys. I think we got a scene.
Yeah, I see the end. I see the light of the end
like
of the tunnel.
I see the light of the end of the tunnel. I feel a little emotionally moved right now. I feel like my heartstrings are kind of tugging, you know? Like, this is like, dang, we're almost done. It's been almost when did we start doing this? Was it about a year ago? Like, how long have we been? How long have we been doing this script?
I mean, it's not even counting from like the time we broke it, but yeah, when did we?
Well, you started this whole insano experiment with an episode called July 29th, 2019.
That was Heaven Heist, or that was episode
one.
Oh, yeah. July. All right, so we're coming in not too bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
Almost as long as it normally takes.
It was slightly faster, even. All right, guys. Well, when we come back, the scene.
I'm going to do the Windows XP sound to turn off this section into the next section.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Good to go.
It is safe to eject the podcast.
We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Jin looks at the giant pile of gold in his back seat, then to the nervous, expectant faces of his crew. Finally, he looks at the shimmering image of his praying brother. Kyle's eyes soften as he looks at his brother. A wellspring of emotion erupts within him, and a flurry of images flash through his mind. Interior, childhood home. Young Kyle, 8, bloodied with a black eye and a busted lip, sniffles away tears as young Freddy puts smiley face band-aids on his wounds. Young Freddy gives his brother a tender smile. Interior, prison. 16, Kyle. 16. Broods in a prison cell, staring out his barred windows, a stubby cigarette dangling from his lip. Something catches his eye out the window. Five stories below, Teen Freddy, 18, stands in the pouring rain, holding up a sign. Stay strong, brother.
And Will, sorry, not to tell you how to write, but shouldn't it be interior teen prison?
Oh, no.
Interior teen prison.
No, you're ruining it. It sounded like an 80s comedy.
I think teen prison is a lot cooler.
Okay. Interior childhood home. Freddy does the chicken dance while Kyle and his mother Lily laugh and clap along. Exterior heaven. Gram-Gram smiles serenely as she drops the dumplings down the hell well.
May you be safe, happy, healthy. May you live with ease.
End flashback. Kyle's jaw drops. A desperate urgency fills his face. His eyes scan the army of angels surrounding them that meet Sai Shen's hardened glare.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Jin? Jin realizes everyone is watching his moment of vulnerability. He scowls and stuffs a cigarette in his mouth.
Nobody's dying today.
He revs the engine. Tequila shuts his eyes in disappointment. Brandy pouts. Cognac grins. Whiskey, still heartbroken, puts on a brave face.
Anyone wants out? Now's the time.
I may be an old man, but I never abandon my crew.
Me neither.
Me neither.
Let's ride.
Jin stomps the gas. The van roars across the dock, smashes through a guardrail, and plummets into a boundless ocean of sky. Exterior, sky, day. The van plummets through the air. We hear the muffled screams of the terrified crew inside. Ah! Interior, van, day. Jin grips the wheel tight. Everyone else braces in their seats, screaming their heads off. But after a long beat, their screams begin to peter out. Through the windshield, they still see nothing but sky and clouds below them. One by one, they regain their wits.
Okay, still falling.
Brandy peers out the window, straining to see land.
How long does this go on for?
We gotta hit the ground sometime.
Oh, well, what if we don't? What if there's no bottom? What if we just fall and fall and fall forever?
A long silent beat as everyone considers this terrifying question. Then they all scream all over again. Panic completely overwhelms them as the van falls through a cloud, and none of them notice the ground suddenly rushing up to meet them. The van slams into a grassy field with a deafening crash. Exterior hills, day. The wrecked, smoldering van lies in a stunning vista of rolling green hills. It looks exactly like that classic Windows XP desktop background. The side door pops open, and one by one, the day's crew members climb out into the grass.
What is this place?
Whiskey drops to his knees and clutches at the grass like a lost sailor finally reaching land.
Oh my gosh! We're back on Earth! We made it!
The rest of the gang stares out in wonder at the gorgeous landscape surrounding them. Tequila shakes his head, suspicious. This isn't Earth. It's too pretty. Cognac plucks a blade of grass. Brandy pouts in disappointment.
Oh man, they said there'd be demons.
This ain't hell either. Feels more like nowhere.
Huzzah! You've struck the mark, fair friend.
They jump, startled, and turn around. William Shakespeare leans jauntily on the side of the wrecked van.
What the hell?
Lady persons and gentlefellows, welcome to the great Betwixt. Betwixt life and death, betwixt inferno and paradise, there is this place.
Oh, hey, I know you. You're that play guy from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Shakespeare bows with a flourish.
Indeed, I am that self-same bard presented humbly at thy service.
You're William Shakespeare. What are you doing here?
William Shakespeare gives a sad sigh. The same as you, weary wanderers. At the hour of my reckoning, I fled and leapt and fell and found myself in this place oh some endless eons ago.
Eons? How long have you been here?
The trampling hooves of time find no purchase in the great Betwixt. The reins of kings and the flap of the dive dapper's wing both doth...
I'm just fucking with you. I don't really talk like that anymore. Look, you're in limbo, okay? Time stands still here.
Limbo?
Yeah, limbo. You need a hearing aid, Gramps? Everyone who runs away from their judgment winds up here.
Wait, why did you run away?
Well, princess, I figured half the people who really wrote most of my plays are up in heaven, and the other half are down in hell. And I'm not too keen to run into either group at the moment, capiche?
So you just hang out here for all eternity?
Listen, pizza face, I do a lot more than hang out. I write. I figure if I can really write something even half as good as 10 Things I Hate About You, I can face those nerds I ripped off without looking like a total chode.
We're stuck with this guy for all eternity? I'm gonna kill you, Jin.
Whoa, switch to decaf, Bam Bam. You're free to bounce anytime you want to. See that light over yonder?
He points to a huge beam of light shooting skyward way off in the distance.
That's the light at the end of the tunnel. The first thing you see when you die. Hop on in and you'll float straight back up to heaven. That is, if you're ready to meet Jamaica. Oh my God, this accent is all over the place.
So good, I love it.
Our crew peers closer at the light. Sure enough, they can just make out unconscious human souls floating up the beam of light towards a fleet of heaven fairies above. As Tequila takes in the sight, he gives a wistful, resigned chuckle. So that's it, then. We're right back where we started. Jin shakes his head, defiant and desperate.
No, no, there's gotta be another way. Hey, old man, what if we're not really dead? Is there any way back to our bodies?
Sure, we get our share of not quite dead is up here. I mean, hell, I met George Orwell after he got shot in the Spanish Civil War. When he jumped into the light, he fell straight to his body on Earth. Not before stealing my idea for Animal Farm, you bastard!
This is my new favorite character, far and away. Like, long-dead New Yorker William Shakespeare, like, is so good.
Shakespeare calls out to the winds with a rageful fist. Tequila shakes his head. It doesn't matter, Jin. If we go to heaven, we get sent to hell. If we go back to Earth, we've got 4 seconds till Miss Wonderful kills us.
And then get sent to hell.
Any way you split it, we're donezo, kid. Tequila shakes William Shakespeare's hand. Thanks for your time, sir. And good luck with your writing. Come on, guys. It's time to face the music. With heavy hearts, our crew walk away towards the beam of light in the distance. Only Jin stays where he is. He lingers, racked with regret, tortured by gnawing existential despair.
But it can't be over. Not yet. Not now.
Tequila calls back to him. I know, it stinks, but that's life for you. Now come on.
Yeah, Jin, unless you'd rather hang out with Billy Fakespeare till the end of time.
Something in her words strikes a chord with Jin. He furrows his brow as an idea forms in his mind. Meanwhile, Shakespeare rebukes Cognac's sick burn. Hey, fuck you, lady, I wrote Trollius and Cressida.
That's the worst one.
What? Nah, who needs ya? He stomps off in an angry huff. Jin's eyes light up as he has an epiphany. He grins.
That's it.
Jin leaps into a flurry of activity, pacing around, marking out an imaginary room in the grass. He mutters to himself as he works through the layout of the room.
Miss Wonderful's here. Her goons are here, here, and here. We're all lying down. 1, 2, 3, 4. And Whiskey's flying through the air right here.
The gang stops and watches Jin's frenzied activity from a nearby hill.
Jin, what you doing, buddy?
He's losing his mind. That's what he's doing.
Jin looks up at them with a spirited gleam in his eye.
Back on Earth, we've got 4 seconds. But up here, we've got an eternity. An eternity to prep. An eternity to plan. An eternity to train.
Cognac throws up her arms in baffled impatience.
Train for what? What are you talking about?
A steely determination rises in Jin's voice.
I'm talking about one last heist. In 4 seconds, we steal our lives from the jaws of death.
Okay, yeah, he's lost it.
Jin, it's impossible. What can we possibly do in 4 seconds?
I don't know, but we've got an eternity to figure it out.
And then what? Even if we kill Miss Wonderful, even if we steal our lives, someday we're going to wind up right back here. And where do you think they'll send us?
They'll send us to hell, and we'll deserve it, because we're nothing but low-down, dirty crooks. But you know what?
Jin gets misty-eyed as he works himself into an impassioned speech.
Despite all that, I got a brother that loves me. Took my whole life and then some to see it. But love like that is worth all the gold in heaven. And if a guy as great as him can love a crook like me, well, there must be something about my life worth saving. And if I'm worth saving, so are all of you.
Despite their reservations, Jin's speech is touching their souls. Doubt gives way to hesitant excitement in their eyes.
Someday I'm gonna meet the Reaper, but until that day, I'm gonna fight like hell to live a good life, a real life. And if it takes me all eternity, I'm gonna figure out how to make those 4 seconds count. Now who's with me?
Brandy grins from ear to ear and pounds her fist in her hands.
Damn it. I'm in, you lunatic. If we're gonna die, let's go down swinging.
Cognac gives a cocky smile.
Slim odds, high stakes, and nothing to lose. Sounds like my kind of job.
Whiskey steps forward and gives an eager thumbs up.
I'm in too. Not because I love cognac, which I still do, by the way, but because I love life.
Jin looks to Tequila, whose eyes brim with tears.
How about it, boss? You got one more job in ya?
Tequila gives him a short, stoic nod. Let's get to work. And with that, our crew springs into action once more. As they pace and plan amidst the rolling hills of Windows XP, we begin our final heist montage.
Hell yeah.
It definitely cuts to a halt immediately because I feel like Whiskey's right away like, oh, wait, okay, so I got shot though. Oh yeah, you're right. Like right away, it just grinds to a halt.
First thing we got to do is learn medicine.
Yeah. That's really good. You know, when we eventually obviously pitch this
to Quibi,
when we have to Quibi in 6 minute chunks, our laptop needs to have the Windows XP background for the PowerPoint.
Dude, but no joke. I rep
the Windows XP background so hard that I installed it months ago on my Macintosh.
No, but I want a custom version. I want a custom version that if it stays there long enough, a truck drops out of the sky and lands in it, and you can see all of our characters. But it's like really far off in the distance, you know?
That's so weird.
That'd be so fun.
Very good.
That'd be a, come on, that's a good download for it. Do movies still have websites? That's pretty 2000s, huh?
Yeah. We could just upload it to that Space Jam website.
Yeah, we'll
and you can
find Space
it there.
Jam website.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I think old Billy S. here is like my new favorite character in all of fiction.
Yeah, man.
Just like disgruntled.
It was a real treat to get to write the greatest writer in human history as a venal, petty, plagiarizing asshole. That was super fun.
Well, yeah, no, I definitely like that. I mean, look, like this is, you know, I mean, we're trying to say stuff with this movie, but like overall it's pretty silly. So I do like that we can take a moment to really address a serious concern, which is the plagiarism of William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. This is you just filled us with literature conspiracy theories, Will.
We're going to get RIP our mentions, right?
This is our plan to get it produced by Roland Emmerich.
Oh, Roland Emmerich.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, because he's a Shakespeare truther.
He's a Shakespeare truther. So you send this script to him.
One of my favorite stories from high school was one of the teachers was like a Shakespeare scholar. Like she was like her major and all that stuff. So she loved Shakespeare and like was a new teacher. And just one of my buddies just like figured out the thing that would just set her off was just being like, so did Shakespeare smoke weed? She was like so against that. She's like, no, of course, no. Like, so it just became this running joke. And it was like, that was the year, if you remember, where they were like, they've dug up some of the pottery around Shakespeare's garden. It appears that he grew cannabis indica. And it's like, so, hey. And it was just this like running joke of like Shakespeare smoked weed, right? And then I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And she's like, no, guys, no, Shakespeare, no. Like, it was so good.
That's great.
But did he, though?
You know what? Let's see where the scholarship is now. Did Shakespeare?
I am pretty sure the answer is not.
Is, yeah, boy.
Okay, August 10th, 2015. If you've ever seen Midsummer Night's Dream, you may have wondered if the secret to Shakespeare's imaginative verse was, well, herbal.
Oh, my God.
And
all right. I don't need to hear any more of that article. All I know is our Shakespeare definitely drinks Jack Daniels and smokes cigarettes.
Look, USA Today says Shakespeare smoked weed, okay?
All right. Well, if the good people at USA Today say it, then it's good enough
Francis
for me.
Thackeray and his team from South Africa's University of the Witwatersrand were loaned 24 tobacco pipe, and that's in quotes, fragments from Shakespeare's property by the Shakespeare Birthright Trust. 8 tested positive for cannabis and 2 had remnants of cocaine, baby.
That is a smoking blunt as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Will, how's that fan art front looking?
Dude, we got some good stuff this week. Amy L. Johnston is back on Twitter with chapter 10 of The Other Side, her adaptation of our Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road episode. So way to go, Amy. Keep on trucking. We also got an adorable piece of fan art from Sammo, our good friend Sammo on Twitter again, who did a super, super cute drawing of Baby and Whiskey, like reunited. It's like two adorable macaws, and one of them's got whiskey glasses. It's very, very cute. It's super good. I am fucking obsessed with it. Thank you so much to Sammo. Thank you so much to Amy. Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun Network for having us on their maximally fun network of podcasts, the best network of podcasts, in my humble opinion.
Head on over to MaximumFun.org. Check us out on Twitter. We are RJ Storybreak. Our private Facebook group is bit.ly/StorybreakFB. This podcast edited by our good buddy Chad Ellis.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Chad, for cutting us together.
Hey, and you know what? Thank you guys for being on the podcast.
Hey,
thanks Will.
Will, for writing this good scene.
Yeah.
And thanks to William Shakespeare for being a good sport and lending his voice. It was quite a get to get the actual William Shakespeare for that scene. We had to talk to his agent. He's repped at WME. We're at UTA. It was a whole thing.
Well, UTA represents...
That's some inside baseball for you guys.
He's at WME, but UTA represents his upcoming stand-up career. He's really trying to work. He's working on a type 5.
All right. Well, listen, that's going to do it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm too tired to think of something funny, so that's it.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Wow, what a letdown. I apologize for Matt.
What? Why? I don't apologize for me.
All right.
I take away Freddie's apology. Goodbye.
We're at net zero apologies now with this podcast.
Wait, I apologize for both of them. Oh, no, the episode's
no.
over.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.